listening to the Way of Truth broadcast coming from the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin A. Craig speaking. We are thankful for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you. And Brother Raymond Martin, pastor of the Church of God in Shawsville, Virginia, opens the musical part of our service by singing for us the song, I'm Still on the Rock.
This home that I'm building is founded on love. Its timbers are treated with things from above. By faith it is standing, I nailed it with prayer. And Jesus, my Savior, abides with me there. I built a foundation on Jesus, my Lord, my rock of salvation, my shield and my sword. When I'm in the valley and I can't see the top, or if I hit rock bottom, I'm still on the rock. It's filled with the praises that comes from my heart, and the forces of evil can't tear it apart. When life storms are raging and they won't seem to stop, I've anchored in Jesus, and I'm still on the rock. I built a foundation on Jesus, my Lord, my rock of salvation, my shield and my sword. When I'm in the valley and I can't see the top, or if I hit rock bottom, I'm still on the rock. When I'm in the valley and I can't see the top, or if I hit rock bottom, I'm still on the rock.
Our loving Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful for the rock, Christ Jesus, and that we can stand upon Him, knowing that we're standing on a firm foundation. We are truly thankful for your way, for your way is a beautiful way, a holy way, and we're thankful for the privilege of sharing the gospel with this precious people today. Wherever our broadcast is reaching, we're praying the Holy Spirit will accompany it and will make it a blessing to hearts. You also see our congregation, you know their burdens and their cares, and you've told us that we should cast all of our care upon you, for you care for us. So bless this broadcast, and bless each one in our congregation. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah.
Our subject for today's broadcast, the Bible, the source of light. But before I give the text of Scripture for today's subject, I'd like to give you a short quote from The Bible and How to Interpret It by D.O. Teasley, and under the heading Authorship. The Bible is preeminently the book of God. He is its author, yet it was written by men, and in some sense, man is its author. God, through His Spirit, so operated upon the minds of men that they conceived the thoughts of God and recorded those thoughts for the enlightenment and guidance of mankind. Just how God and man were associated in the transmission of divine truth is the subject not of authorship, but of inspiration. Suffice it to say here that the great stream of Bible truths that flows from God, its fountainhead, and flows through inspired men, its channel. The number of men used of God in writing the books that now compose our Bible is not definitely known, but scholars have estimated that between 35 and 40 men have had a part in the writing of that wonderful book. It is estimated, too, that from the time of the first book was written until the writing of the last one, there elapsed a period of about 1,500 years. And now our text, taken out of Psalm 119 and verse 105. The word, or thy word, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Bible speaks of darkness as symbolizing error, false teachings, false doctrines, sin. Light symbolizes truth, righteousness, holiness. And we are told that if we walk in the light, as God is in the light, then we'll have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Most of the people of the world today are in darkness. That is why John said, the whole world lieth in darkness. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19. Jesus said, men love darkness rather than light. And the reason why He said men love darkness rather than light is because their deeds are evil. John chapter 3 and verse 19. Now, the Bible illuminates. Again, our text of Scripture, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Bible not only gives light as to what is truth, but it also reveals what is error, what is false. Through thy precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Psalm 119, verse 104, the verse just before our text. The entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. And so through the word of God, through the teachings of the word of God, we get understanding. And the psalmist said, when he had this understanding from the word of God, I hate every false way. You cannot love darkness and light. You cannot walk in darkness and walk in light. You must choose one or the other. So the psalmist said, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. The Bible is the written word of God. Yes, the Bible is the written word of God. Jesus Christ is the living word of God. We're told in St. John chapter 1 and verse 14, 1 and 4 verse 14, that Jesus Christ is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then the 14th verse, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus Christ is the spokesman for the Godhead. Therefore, Christ is the living Word. That's why he was able to tell the disciples and others, if you do not eat my flesh and drink my blood, then you have no part with me. And that's why he told them that they must eat his flesh and drink his blood if they were going to be his disciples. He wasn't talking about literal flesh or literal blood there. He is the living Word, and we are to eat the living Word as far as the Word of God is concerned. It's to be alive in our hearts. It's to be alive in our lives. It's to be our guide. We are to walk in its light if we're going to have the blessings of Almighty God. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I say again, you cannot walk in darkness and in light at the same time. There is a choice that must be made. And if we walk in darkness, then we are living a life of sin and not a life of righteousness. Again, Jesus said that they would not come to the light because their deeds were evil, and the light would make manifest their evil deeds. And so Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 8:12. The light exposes evil deeds. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Notice that. We're still quoting from the Lord Jesus, John 3:20 this time. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. So the Word of God exposes sin, wickedness, and evil. And whenever a person really wants to have an experience of salvation, they must be willing to come out of darkness into the light of life. For Jesus Christ is the light of life. The Bible, the Word of God, is given to us to live by. We find this in Deuteronomy, but Jesus quotes it in Matthew 4:4. Man shall not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, let me explain. We are living under the new covenant today. We're not under the old covenant. The Bible clearly teaches that the old covenant expired, and Jesus Christ brought in a new covenant. Paul gives us an allegory in the book of Galatians about Hagar and her son Ishmael, which symbolized and represented the old covenant, and Sarah and her son Isaac, which was a type or a symbol of the new covenant. And just as Sarah demanded that Abraham cast the maid out, so the old covenant expired. It ceased in its power and influence. So we are living under the new covenant. And when we read where we are to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, we're talking about the law of Christ, the law of the new covenant. And if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So we're told in 1 John 1:7, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. 2 John 9. Notice that passage of Scripture. I know there are those in the religious world today would have you to believe that you can come to God some other way than through Jesus Christ. But Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And here we read in 2 John verse 9, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. So you cannot have one without the other. The Bible illuminates many vital subjects. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, not part, not two-thirds, but all. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So we read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. I'd like for you to notice this passage of Scripture speaks of four different things in regard to the Scriptures. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. One, for doctrine. Yes, doctrine is important. I heard of one man who said, well, you know, we don't preach doctrine, we just preach Christ. Well, what is doctrine? Doctrine is anything that is taught. So if you really and truly preach Christ, you are preaching doctrine. Anything that the Word of God teaches, as far as the teachings of the Scriptures, it's doctrine. And Paul said it is profitable and it is necessary. Yes, we need to be established in the doctrine. Jude found it necessary to write to the saints of his day that they should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And the faith that he's talking about there is not just simply belief in God. He's talking about the faith of the gospel, the one faith. Paul said, there is one God, there is one Lord, there is one body, there is one Spirit, and he said, there is one faith. And when he was speaking of the faith, he's talking about the doctrines of the teachings of the Word of God. Now, number two in this passage of Scripture from 2 Timothy 3, correction. And that's something that a lot of people don't particularly appreciate, but you know, if we are going wrong, if we are doing wrong, and someone has enough concern for us to correct us, we shouldn't feel ill at them. We shouldn't get angry at them. We should appreciate it. And so the Word of God is profitable for correction. Yes, it will correct us. It teaches us how to live, teaches us what to do and what not to do. And then the third point, instruction. Yes, instruction. And all of us need instruction. There's no one that knows it all. No one knows it all. And we all need instruction. We all need teaching. And notice what the instruction is in reference to this passage of Scripture. Instruction in righteousness. And that's certainly needed in the world today, in a world where we're living among people, religious people, who keep insisting that we have to sin more or less every day in word, deed, and thought. You know what they need? They need instruction in righteousness. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And Paul goes on to say in this passage of Scripture, 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, that the man of God may be perfect, in other words, mature, and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Oh, I know the Bible says we're not none of us good, no, not one. But, beloved, whenever you have Christ in your heart, it's not your goodness, it's His goodness. And we read in the Bible about some good men. Barnabas was a good man. And so the Word of God is given for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, the Bible is God's final and complete revelation to man. And I do want to emphasize that point because there are various religious organizations that have their own book, which you might want to refer to as a Bible, and it isn't. But there are various religious organizations that have their own book sometime hundreds of years after the coming of Christ. But I say the Bible is God's final and complete revelation to man. Going again to the words of Jude in Jude 3, when he said we should contend earnestly for the faith, he went on to say, which was once delivered unto the saints. Do not look for some holy book after the compilation of the holy word of God, the Bible, for none of those compare or can compare to the word of God. Only the scriptures are inspired by God. So again, I say for the third time, the Bible is God's final and complete revelation to man. So do not look for another supposed holy book or another religious leader to take Christ's place. Muhammad was not God's last prophet, and the Reverend Moon was not called to finish the work Christ failed to complete. That is what is taught in certain parts of the religious world. But, beloved, Christ completed the work that he came to do. He told in his prayer to the Father, Father, I have done the work that thou gavest me to do, and I believe it. So don't look for another book, don't look for another religious leader to supposedly finish Christ's work. Christ finished his own work, and whenever he comes again, and he is coming again, he's not coming to set up a literal kingdom, but he's coming to judge the world in righteousness. And how is he going to judge them? He's going to judge them by the word of God. The books shall be opened, and every man shall be judged according to the things that are written therein. Every other book will be consumed in the judgment fires of God Almighty. The Bible contains practical and directional teachings which offer light and understanding. And again, if we're going to have fellowship with God and with God's people, we must walk in the light. The Bible informs us as to how this world was created. Yes, it does. It tells us how the world was created. You don't have to go to the moon. You don't have to go to Mars. You don't have to bring back rocks from any of those places to know. All you've got to do is open your Bible and believe what it tells you. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God, in his word, not only tells us how the world began, but believe it or not, it tells us how it's going to end. Yes, it tells us how it's going to end. Don't you believe that this world's going to be burned over and restored? And then I read just recently, someone was teaching that God himself was going to come down here sometime in the future and live. Isn't that strange? The Bible says that the earth is the Lord's footstool. You ever hear of a king leaving his throne and coming down and sitting on his footstool and ruling? So the Bible not only informs us as to how this old world began, but it tells us how it's going to end. The Bible informs us about how sin entered into the family of man and its wages. The wages of sin is death. And if we continue in sin and die in our sins, Jesus said, where he is, there we cannot come. The Bible informs us how we can be delivered from sin, and that's through Jesus Christ and only through Jesus Christ. He is the only Savior there is, and we can come to him, repenting of our sins, forsaking our sins, and he will save us. The Bible informs us about the Holy Spirit and how we can receive him as an abiding comforter in our hearts and lives, and he will give us power to live a righteous and a godly life. The Bible teaches us we are to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, and that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. The Bible informs us about eternal life, and the Bible informs us about the lake of fire. The Bible informs us we must die and face Christ in judgment. The Bible is the greatest book man has ever known, but it is more than a book. It is the revealed mind and will of God for mankind, the book that we are to live by if we're going to have eternal life. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll bless these thoughts to our precious congregation today. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a privilege to share another Way of Truth broadcast with you. And as always, we trust that it has proven to be a blessing. Now, our mailing address is The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. And we would be thankful if you'd take time to let us know that you hear and appreciate our broadcast. Our fax number is 301-739-7173. Our email address is truth@fred.net. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. Again, our mailing address, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. And now this is Alvin A. Craig inviting you to be with us on our next broadcast.
Would you be from sin?